No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is, God will always provide for each and every one of us. We stay in God's face, God will provide. And so often people look for angels to come along and provide for us. No, they don't. God uses humanity. You know, if necessary, God will send a rich man to come and pay your debts. Let them go out and work the socks off. But God wants us to be in his presence. God wants us to put him first. God doesn't say don't work, but he wants us to put him first. You know, he has to be the top of the list. And men shall give into your bosom. And it's, yeah, as you give, men shall give back into you, you see. So God will prepare people to give to you. Grace and I, we were in Israel one time. And we're absolutely skint. The Arabs had ripped us off and we had no money left, just about. And we were in the garden tomb, and there was a lady sat on her own, and we passed this lady, and somehow we got into conversation, and she offered me money. And I turned it down. Afterwards I thought, why did you turn it down? You haven't got anything anyway, basically. And I turned it down and I really felt guilty afterwards. But anyway, God made other provisions along the way for us. And that was wonderful where God provided. He provided accommodation and provided somebody to take us around Israel for the next 10 days. And provided all the transport. And it weren't angels, because we've seen them since, these people. But it was God will supply the need. And God will meet your needs as you have needs. But the thing to do is put first God. That has been my understanding for the last 30 odd years. If you put God first, he'll deal with everything else. And you know, if you lose something, probably it's time that it was lost. It's had its time, it's run its course, and you then are in a situation where your hands are empty to then receive the next thing that God wants to give to you. Praise God. And so we need to realise that God is constantly looking after us, he's caring for us. The scripture tells us that he feeds the birds. So if he cares for the birds, the sparrows, then he's going to care for you and for me. You see, he's your heavenly Father, and he's committed to you. He's tied to you. Eternally tied to you. So because he's always going to be your Father, he's eternally tied to providing for you. That's a big one, isn't it? But he's committed to providing for you. Providing the opportunities that you need. Providing the jobs that we need. You know, you just have to... You see, God allows certain things to test us. God allows certain things to happen so that we can prove God. That we can prove to ourselves that I'm trusting God. That what it says in this Bible, just because of something being different outside, does not mean that this Bible isn't true. Because God will change circumstances and situations. This word never changes. This word's been around as a written page for some 4,000 years or more. God's word hasn't changed. And the world has changed rapidly. But God's answers are still the same. The answer is still Jesus. The answer is still in the kingdom of God. And the answer is, as we begin to seek God's face and pray, seek his face, we will see the blessings of God coming into our hearts and into our lives. And it's fantastic. And God will really move and bless us in our lives. Now, we should be doing the Lord's Prayer. We didn't complete all the second part of, did we? We just, somebody couldn't get to it at all. Now, Bill was going to do a CD for you, because you missed the middle one, right, yeah. So Bill's going to get you a CD for that, so keep nagging. Which ones are you? Were you here on the last one?
Yeah,
you... The one before, right? So they want the
To do what?
Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. And the day's disciples had asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he started, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And I believe that's where we're on to, isn't it? No, we haven't finished that. No, we haven't quite finished. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's where we got sidetracked. We got to the point of... praying for your church, pardon? Yeah. Page 10, top of page 10, praying for your church. And we were listing priorities of... we sort of got distracted with the thing of... Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, on your heading, just go back to page 9, the heading there says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. You changed that one, did you? Well done. It needs to be changed to in earth. The earth is you and me. We are the earth. When God created Adam, God created him out of the dust, the earth. And the kingdom of God was breathed into Adam. The spirit of life was breathed into him at that point in time. And he was God's king and ruler on the earth. And he was to rule and reign. And he failed. And he lost the kingdom. And the kingdom of God left the earth. You can go on with this, you can develop this, can't you, more and more. I mean, the kingdom of God left the earth. Not just the physical earth, but this earth left mankind. That's when mankind was separated from God. And separation means that the kingdom of God had left man. He was now in the kingdom of darkness. That's what we teach. And you can expound this more and more as you begin to look at it and realize that the kingdom that was already breathed into Adam, the moment that Satan came along and Adam and Eve took the bait, they were separated. The kingdom was taken from them. There's a biblical principle where Saul, in the Old Testament, King Saul, where he decides to sacrifice animals. And he rebels against the principles and the teachings of the Word of God. And when Samuel comes on the scene, Samuel's not over impressed with what's gone on. And he says, God's doing away with you. And Saul reached out and grabbed hold of Samuel's cloak and it tore. And he said to him, As you have torn my cloak, so the kingdom of God is torn from you. The kingdom is torn from you. And so with Adam, the kingdom was torn from him. He lost the kingdom. But you know, Jesus, when he's preparing the disciples for the new kingdom, he's preparing them, this is how you pray. After my death, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth. The kingdom is coming back to its rightful place. The kingdom is coming back to its rightful owners. It's coming back to its rightful birthright. And that is the important thing. You see, you and I have a birthright. We have a spiritual birthright, and that spiritual birthright is the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Amen. And so when we realize this more and more, you see, we've got more going for us than you're actually realizing. You've got more on offer for you today than you realize. You're not losing it, you're gaining it. And if we could only capture what God has for us in the future. But you see, we listen to the news, we listen to what's outside, and there's doom and gloom, we're in recession. We're not going to participate. God will make a way where there is no way. The worst recession that could ever happen to anybody is to be in a desert without any food, without any water, with a load of cattle and other herds, and have about 2 million people all demanding they want feeding every day and they want to drink every day. That is a massive recession, in my opinion. And God fed them all for 40 years in a place where there was nothing, in a place where it could bring nothing. God fed them for 40 years. Well, if he can do it once, he can do it again.
Amen.
The word tells you, you have not because you ask not. And I'm not talking about being a millionaire. I'm talking about having enough to live life and be happy. Hey, Bill. That's what it's about. Some of you, if you were millionaires, it'd drive you nuts. You'd be worried either somebody's going to steal it or what you're going to do with it, and etc., etc. And it would just... All Jonathan would do is he'd fill a garage with motorbikes. Drive everybody else nuts. And then he'd drive himself nuts because he wouldn't know which one to ride.
Probably by Isle of Man.
So, you know, it's just don't work totally, you see. And so, you see, you have to put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so we need to seek the kingdom of God first. And the kingdom of God is within us. We need to see that the kingdom of God is birthed within us, and it begins to flow through us. And that as we pray the Lord's Prayer, you will see the kingdom of God working in your life. You see the kingdom of God actually changing things around you. You see, the kingdom of God is not just a word, it's not just an idea. It's actually living and breathing. It expands, it grows, it moves. And so the kingdom is there to give life, to produce life, and to bring a new dimension into a person that they've never ever seen before. People talk about the seventh heaven, etc., but the Bible tells us there's only three heavens, and God wants us to realize the third kingdom. And God wants us to realize that he has so much going for us, and that it's important that we realize that when we get this kingdom moving in our lives, when we begin to understand and realize the importance of the kingdom of God for you and for me, when we get excited about the kingdom of God, then we're going to see something special. But it's about a personal excitement. I can get excited, but you ain't going to see what I'm seeing. I can go to opticians and get a pair of glasses, but if you need glasses, there's no point in wearing my glasses. Is there? You'll not see through them. Not clearly. I try my sister's. God, they're hopeless. I take them back, me, and get them changed. They're rubbish. You know what I mean? Isn't it? If I put Bill's glasses on, it'll be a waste of time. Bill put mine on. He said, what have you got these for? These are no good. You want to take them back and get a rate optician? That's what Bill would say. You see what I'm saying? We've got these... You know, naturally speaking, we all have individual sight. In the same way, we have got to get our own spiritual sight of the things of God. God has to open up your spiritual eyes. We share the word, and we hope that we share and bring some revelation, and you catch the revelation. When you catch the revelation, there is a measure of opening your spiritual eyes. But if you don't catch the revelation, then your spiritual eyes on that area is not yet opened. So it needs some fine tuning. And so constantly God wants us to see into the realm of the Spirit. We can prove it biblically. In that when Elijah, when he was surrounded by the enemy, And he's sitting there, rocking in his rocking chair on the porch, and his servants panicking. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And he just says, God, open up his eyes. When his eyes were opened spiritually, he saw on the mountains surrounding the army that was surrounding him was a mighty force of angelic beings. And this army ended up, its sight was blinded for a while, and he led them by the hand. He said, everybody grab a hand of somebody else next to you, follow me. And he led them captive. Not a sword was raised in anger, not a life was taken. Can't do that. It's in the book. God did it. And so we need to have our spiritual eyes opened. And part of the Lord's Prayer will be is this of praying, you know, that God will open your spiritual eyes as you pray. Because we need to know what to pray for. We need to see beyond the facade. You know, people that put a facade on, can't they? How are you? Oh, I'm fine. Liar. I mean, they're not speaking the truth, but they're hiding, they're masking it, aren't they, you see? But God knows. God wants to reach people where they're at and minister into their lives. And so the kingdom of God has got to come in you, got to come in me, and it will change your destiny. Otherwise, you're just going to sit around doing the same thing year after year. And that's not what God wants. God wants you moving on. God wants you growing in him. God wants you to touch lives in the realm of the Spirit as well. He wants you to see in the dimension of the Spirit. And prayer is what gets you closer to God. Prayer is what draws you into the kingdom of God. It's conversation is prayer. If you want to get to know God, start talking to him. If you want to get to know somebody in this room, you don't sit there and just say, well, I'll just sit near them and I'll get to know them. There's no way will you get to know somebody very well by just sitting by them and saying nothing to them, is there? If you want to get to know somebody, you're going to have to enter into some form of communication. How are you? Fine. What's your name? They tell you the name. Oh, now you've got some information. Where do you live? And you gather information. And you're now building up a picture. Are you married? Have you got family? And you're getting more and more, and you're building a picture up. And then somebody says, oh, do you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I live at so-and-so, down so-and-so, they've got three children. And you know them. Or is it you just know of them? Because that's just, you sit near them, you've never really spoken to them. See, a lot of Christians know of God. They don't really know him. And this is where we've got to bring the church back to. Bring the church back to knowing God. Who he is and what he can do. And on page 9 we talked about setting goals and priorities in the Spirit. Your tongue will direct you, move you forward. Secondly, we talked about praying for yourself. It's important that you pray for yourself. If you can't get yourself sorted out, you're not going to sort anybody else out. Then you start praying for your family. It's important that you pray for your family, pray for yourself before, and then you start praying for your family. And you just continue right through the day. And then we move on then. This is where we finished off. Where we then start praying for your church. This is your third priority. To pray for your church. Pray for the pastor. Pray for the leadership of the church, the faithfulness of the people, and the harvest. And it's so important to realise that we need good leadership, we need strong leadership, but we need leadership that actually hears God. We need leadership with spiritual eyes. We don't need leadership that just learns from a book. We don't need leadership that just copies what somebody else is doing. We need leadership that actually hears God for themselves. Because leadership is to lead the rest of the congregation into the learning to hear God for themselves. Not just being a crowd that follows when there's something exciting happening. We were in a church in the States a couple of weeks ago, and the guy was preaching, and suddenly somebody started going off in tongues, and I'm not against tongues, and I think we need to have more tongues and interpretations and moving of the gifts of the Spirit in this church. And but it was out of place. It was just somebody wanting some attention. And it's wonderful where the pastor did it. He says, well, he says, there is, he says, somebody's drunk in the Spirit. He says, you know how to deal with a drunk, don't you? He says, give him another drink till he falls over. Never heard another drop. He must have drunk that much, he went quiet. Must have fallen over. But it was subtle the way he did it. Because it wasn't the time, it was in the wrong place. The Spirit is subject to the vessel. Right? The Spirit of God in us is subject to us. You can refuse or you can respond to let the Spirit of God move through you. Sometimes it can get tough when God puts the pressure on, but it's, you have to learn when to and when not to. You have to understand. And you see, leadership, God wants leadership moving in the dynamics of the realms of the Holy Spirit. He wants leadership to be seeing the dynamics of the Holy Spirit. He wants leadership seeing into the realm of the spiritual. He wants leadership going for signs, wonders and miracles, believe it or not. Because he wants the rest of the church to be walking in signs, wonders and miracles. So if the leaders aren't doing it, how can you get the congregation to do it? And this is where we fall down when we've a church where it just has a teacher, or a church that just has an evangelist. We need a fivefold ministry, and I keep saying this, we need a fivefold ministry in every church in our nation that moves forward in God, that will bless people's lives, that will touch people on these streets, that will touch when you go to work, when you meet people shopping, when you're out on the streets walking, you meet people and you touch them with Jesus. You touch them with the dynamics of a spiritual realm. You see, people can, you can brush at the side of people and they don't know anything, because there's nothing flowing from you. But you know, if you walk in the realm of the Spirit, you can touch people and they can sense that something has touched them, something has happened in a different way. How do I know that? Because I'll give you the reverse. Jesus, when he was going to to raise Jairus' daughter, there was a crowd all around him. People were touching him. He was bumping into people as he was pressing through the crowd. And suddenly he stopped and said to his disciples, "Who touched me?" He's like, "Yeah, okay. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you." Which they were. It's a true statement. But Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Somebody reached out and touched me, because virtue has left me. There was a power that left him. He felt something leaving him. He felt something of the presence of the kingdom of God leaving him. And the Bible tells us the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Just to throw that one in. You see, the Jews were looking for a kingdom that was meat and drink. That's why they followed him. Fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000. Oh, stick with him. He knows where checkout is. He heals people. Follow him. If you get sick, just, you know, give him a tap. He'll deal with it. They want him the handouts. Hasn't changed, has it? You see, but at the same time, Jesus wants to give and wants to touch people's lives. And when that woman said, came to him and said, "It's me." He said, "Woman, you're healed." But you see, she wasn't waiting for Jesus to tell her she was healed. Her faith, her prayer, pushed her to the end of everything and said, "If I can only just touch the hem of his garment, that's all I need. That's the only connection I need," she says. "Then I'm going to be healed." She'd spent everything. She was totally broke. And she was sick and dying. Jesus was her last hope. Then she reached out in the crowd. She shouldn't have been there. We know that. The Bible tells us because of her condition she was unclean. She shouldn't even be mixing with them people. Possibly, I think they could have stoned her to death. But she didn't care. Because she knew, deep down, she had got to that point where she knew, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole." So she pushed through. And she made it. And she touched the hem of the garment. And she received her healing. And that's on a street. That's Jesus out and about. Not in a room like this. This is where we encourage one another. This is where we try and inspire one another. This is where we teach some of the knowledge of the kingdom of God. But then it's about going out and doing the learning experiences. Yeah, Smith Wigglesworth, he was just sat in a train carriage and he was just reading his little New Testament. And suddenly somebody just fell on the floor and says, "What do I need to do to be saved?" He hadn't even spoken to him. But you see, when the presence of God, when the Spirit of God starts flowing out of you, people know. People sense something. This isn't a boast because there has been times when we've had meetings and we've called people out for prayer and we're going to be praying for people. And some people have said, I can feel. There's a power coming from you. Now that power's not my power. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. God working through you as an individual. And I think, well, I can't feel anything at that stage. But people, when they're desperate, can sense the presence and the power of God. And people need to see the power of God. It's the power of God that changes lives. Jesus, the power of God. Jesus means Jesus Christ. It means Jesus, the anointed one. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And to redeem it back. Hallelujah. And so we do need to pray for our leaders. Hold them up in prayer. And pray for a faithfulness in the church. Today, people aren't faithful. It starts with F. They're fickle. They're not faithful. They're fickle. "Oh, so-and-so ignored me in church, so I'm not going anymore." Tough. Grow up. Get a life. Do something. You know. "Oh, so-and-so didn't speak to me. Oh, they looked at me strange." Well, maybe what you were wearing, they thought that were a bit odd. I don't know. Maybe they're not having a good day. The problem is, life suddenly centres on the me. Instead of the him. And we need to refocus. We've had them. You've seen them. They've been. They've gone. And that's okay. You cannot change somebody that doesn't want to be changed. So it's not a failure. The word says, show them the way. You can show them the way, but if they don't want to go that way, they're going to go a different way. But that's okay. That's their choice. Maybe they'll find the way later. If not, if they just want to play in the outer court, let them play in the outer court. They're saved. They're sort of happy. It goes in phases for them, you know. But that's okay. When we move in into the inner court, into the Holy of Holies, into that dynamics of the spiritual realm, that's where God wants you to be. And that is not just for leadership, that is for every member of a congregation. They are to move in, because we're all priests unto God. And so we have to move in. That's the idea. The curtain was torn from top to bottom. All you've got to do is you have to push through. Bring your anointing oil and push through. That's what it's for. So we need to be faithful, not fickle. And as we're faithful, we'll see a harvest. A harvest in our own lives, a harvest in the church, and a harvest in other people's lives. We shall see a constant harvest going on constantly, constantly, constantly. You'll always lose something along the way. I find this quite amazing. I planted some seeds in some pots and that. Some have grown, so we've lost some seeds. Some haven't grown. Planted a number of carrots and we've got 2 carrots. Sow sparingly and you shall reap sparingly. I sowed sparingly. I'm reaping sparingly on the carrots. I'm proving the theory, you see. Now the other thing is, I've got this concrete pot and I've got some compost in it, and I put some cabbage seed in. 3 cabbages have come up. Looking good. The other day I looked and I thought, they've got holes in them leaves. Why have they got holes in them? So I went and did some looking and hunting. Yeah, there's some of these very tiny caterpillars and there's lots of little eggs, so, you know, brush them all off. A bit later on, I walked back down the garden again. And it's like, I mean, I've got a big garden. I've got 3 cabbage plants in my garden. You know, and they're shoved up against the bungalow back wall, aren't they? Next to tomato plants. You can't really see them, can you? They're covered by tomato leaves. And there's 2 white butterflies giving it what for, laying eggs all over the place. And I said, there's all this space in my garden. And there's 3 little cabbages, and they are little cabbages, and there's 2 tiny butterflies, and they go, whoo, can you smell that? You know? Can you sense that anointing? You know? And they gather around it and dance around it in excitement and lay their eggs and think, wonderful. And I'm thinking, can't you go and find somebody else's cabbages? You know, is there only my cabbages in all of this estate? Am I the only one with cabbages? Could well be. Nobody grows plant, you know. So, you know, I've only seen these 2 butterflies, and I've only seen them since I've had cabbages. Yes. Next door neighbour has, I've noticed as I look over the hedge, he has a buddleia. If anybody, it's got purple flowers, and it attracts butterflies. They love the nectar. I haven't seen a butterfly on his buddleia. They're on my cabbages, laying eggs for them caterpillars to devour my lettuce, my cabbage leaves. They're not over the hedge drinking his wonderful nectar. I'm like, can you believe it? There is a battle raging, you see. I will lose, I know that, but you know, but that's the way. But can you see that? What I'm trying to say is, these 2 butterflies could sense, could smell. They must be able to smell and say, 10 miles away, there's 3 cabbage plants. Just a minute, 19 Ledbury Gardens, get the sat-nav, type it into the sat-nav and off they go. And land on them. Like, oh, wonderful. You know? Now, in the same way, we have to seek the things of the Spirit. We have to seek God in that same way. We have to smell Him out in the Spirit. We have to sense the moving of the Spirit. We have to draw so that, that there's a moving of the Spirit in us. Can you see what I'm trying to say? Can you see the analogy I'm trying to bring to you? Not saying you're a load of cabbages that need eggs laying on you. But we need the anointing. That precious anointing needs to be on us. And it needs to be on each and every one of us. And you can guarantee when that's on you, you'll attract something.
Yeah.
You will attract something. And you will attract people that are in need. That you can minister to. They'll be drawn. Just like them two caterpillars, two butterflies are drawn to my three cabbages. I mean, they're hardly any size. And where these caterpillars are going, they're never going to be any size. Suddenly heading for the middle, you know, them soft, tender leaves. It's like, no, don't go down there. Nothing left, either heart, and it's gone. And that's the other problem. Most Christians eat the heart out of the church, destroy the heart of the church, and walk away and say, I've got what I need, and wobble off. Yeah. You see, we've got to start teaching the congregations you come to give, not to get. What did God say to you? As you mature in God, the question is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is God teaching you? One have the revelation, one have the hymn, the psalm. Bring the revelation, you see. And the fivefold ministry of the apostle, pastor, teacher, etc., evangelist, is to bring that anointing out of its people. Is to give them confidence to step out. But you need to spend time in prayer. You need to spend time in the Word. You need to spend time seeking God's face. Having a conversation with God. Even when you're fed up with it, you still talk to Him. Even when it's not going right, still talk to Him. That's okay. It's not a problem. You will not knock Him off His throne. He won't lose His bearings, where He's taking you and what He's going to do. But what He's looking for is looking for that pure channel where the Holy Ghost can begin to flow through you, to move through you, and that you can be a blessing to other peoples. And you're going to be a blessing to people who you don't even know. And you're going to be blessing people and you don't even really know you're blessing them. And later you find out. And so you need to realise that more and more. So pray for your church. Pray for the leadership. Pray for each other. Put a prayer list up. You know, pray for maybe only pray for a couple of people each day. Oh, pray for so and so. Pray for them. We need as much prayer as we can get. Faithfulness. Pray for faithfulness in the church. Pray the people of the church will be faithful to the families, faithful to the vision of God that has been given to the church and to Jesus. Pray that God will plant people in the church so they will bring forth fruit as soul winners and intercessors, faithful in bringing their tithes and offerings to the storehouse, that the people will serve God faithfully. One of the great things we need to realize is that we have to serve God faithfully, and serving God faithfully means with all of our being. It means with your finance, with your time, with your talents, with your knowledge, with a revelation of the Holy Spirit moving through your life. You are not your own. You don't belong to you anymore. When you came to Jesus and asked Him to come into your life, you are no longer your own. He bought you. Could be said you sold yourself into slavery. But I'd rather be a slave of Jesus than a slave of the devil. Because his wages are poor. His wages is eternal death and damnation. And often it's a rocky road he leads them on. Even the rich and the famous aren't happy people. You know, when you look and these film stars are earning gazillions of dollars, being married 5 or 6 times, and still unhappy. Got more cars than they've got room to put them in a garage, and they're still not happy and content. So it's not about money, is it? It's not about fame. It's not about being a, in quotes, a celebrity. You know, what an overused word. Oh, so-and-so's a celebrity. Really? Never heard of him before. So as far as I'm concerned, they ain't no celebrity. No celebrity to me. And they're not happy. They're of all people most miserable. They get drunk, they take drugs. They're still not happy. Sad, isn't it? Yeah? Billionaires and the drug addicts. Sad. So sad. Yeah? So sad. Aye, that's right, yeah. Just because you have money, don't stop you going to prison and paying the price for drug dealing, etc. And this, you know, this is so sad. And you see, there's no faithfulness to people, to each other. Not even faithful to themselves. You know, they think nothing of themselves in one sense. Because they're abusing this temple. Really sad. You know about it. In your own life. Thank God he saved you. And things are different now, aren't they? Yeah? You wouldn't be around, would you? And we thank God that you are around. I know that. Yep. And so, you know, we need to bring your gift. Bring your gift. What's your gift? And it's not just money. So, you know, there's many different things. And be faithful in your coming together. Thirdly, a harvest. Pray for the harvest. Pray for the souls, that there will be a harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. Isaiah 43. And verses 4 to 6. Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 4 through to 6. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Wow. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Yeah.
Are we special?
And this is what we have to remember. We are special. We are part of the harvest. And once we become part of this harvest, then he's changed us. And that we begin to speak to the harvest. We are now part of the harvest team, reaching the harvest to bring men and women into the kingdom of God. Pray just that the Holy Ghost, like a magnet, will draw people. You see, that anointing, if people begin to sense and see signs and wonders, people will be drawn to God. In the early part of the 19th century, I think it was, up in one of the Scottish Isles, two old ladies were praying for revival for the island. And a man came on the island, and they were waiting for somebody famous. And this man wasn't famous. Nobody knew him. Yeah, I think it was Campbell. And they said to him, "Oh no, it's not you that God's sending. No, we're praying for so-and-so to come." Well, he said, "God sent me." "No, it's not you." So anyway, he went off and held some meetings. And the power of God came down. And people were coming out of the pubs and walking to the church, crying and weeping to find Jesus, to get saved. Nobody was preaching to them in the pubs, but there was something happening on the island. What was it? It was the presence of God. It was the glory of God. It was experiencing a Holy of Holies experience. It was experiencing a Kingdom of God experience. That's what we're looking for today. It's that God will draw men and women, the Spirit of God. But you see, there isn't enough move of the Spirit of God in the church. In a lot of churches, there isn't enough move of God in the Spirit of the church to heal anybody. Do you know why? Because it's all about me. It's all about me, Jesus. It's all about me. Well, that's what they sing. Don't they? That's their attitude, you see. I've got to come to church to get my card stamped and I'm a good boy and what have you. Or I come to church just to look good. You know, it's all a work program they're into. But the Bible says, bring your anointing. Bring the anointing oil. You've got to be crushed through the week. You've got to be, like God, get hold of you and extract the holy juices of that anointing. Pure virgin oil. And let Him draw the goodness and the blessing out of you. And then you bring it to church and say, "Oh, you know, been with God this week." Nobody's going to look at you freaky and say, "Really?" It's like, "Have you? Where have you been? Where have you been? Tell us about it. What happened?" Oh, it is out of experience that your heart is drawn. Yeah. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12 says, "The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Yeah. And you know, we have got to become violent in our faith. Yeah. What are we going to do? Let the Muslims run over us? No. Oh, I could be put in prison maybe for that. Is that a racist statement? No. Dear God, I don't care if it is or not. But I'm not going to be walked over. This isle, it belongs to the kingdom of God. Don't belong to anybody else. Don't even belong to the politicians. Don't even belong to the Queen or anybody else. It belongs to the kingdom of God. And it's time that the church stood up and caused the church that the kingdom of God ruled and reigned. Now, I'm not dishonouring politicians or anything like that. They dishonour themselves. They don't need me to do that. Because we go on to teach that we pray for these people. They've got their own problems. And we need to pray, because the kingdom of God suffereth violent, but the violent are going to take it by force. We're going to, you know, we should be moving in to possess the land. Little by little. The Israelites were told, "You will possess the land." God says, "I could, if I wanted, drive your enemy straight out. There'd be nothing left in it. There'd be nobody around. But then the land would devour you. You'd need to get overrun. So you're going to move in little by little." We should be moving in. Not backing up. Me in my small corner and you in yours. Should be moving in. Not shutting churches down, but opening new ones up. Shutting pubs down and opening churches in the places. Not needing a big hospital, but, you know, getting a smaller hospital, because the power of God is flowing through the churches and people are being healed. could save this, you know, if the kingdom of God came into this nation, could save this government stacks of money. Gordon Brown would be in clover. Police force wouldn't have to be on such a high alert. We wouldn't need as many prisons. All costs money, you see. And all these people would have a better quality of life. And would have a great eternity set before them. But guess who has the responsibility to pray this in? You and I. We're the ambassadors. We're the people that are bringing in the kingdom of God. We're the people that can begin to call this into being, like two old ladies prayed for years on a little island. And even doubted the messenger that came. That's okay. Even God can work through unbelief at times. Yes. And moving. So praise God. And when you begin to pray over the church, speak to the powers and the principalities of the air who work in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2 and chapter 2 and verse 2. You know, bringing people into disobedience. This age, I mean, this Redruth, is it? They've just put an estate on a curfew for the next few weeks. And the people are saying, oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We've got our estate back. It's quiet and etc., etc. But why did it get like it is? Because we got rid of God. We got rid of godly principles. We got rid of godly discipline. And we allowed anarchy to rule and to reign. And we pay the price for it. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Word tells you, give it a good beating. You'll drive wickedness from it. That's all you're going to do. It was a God-fearing country. We didn't get everything right, but hey. We had an empire.
And when God went there, what happened to the empire?
It disappeared. When you put God in first, things begin to get better. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, in which you formerly, well, I'll read from verse 1, and you were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air, and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. There's the answer. 2,000 years ago, they got the same problem. Paul's writing about it, saying this is the problem. And we've let it go on and on and on. And so we need to realise that God is wants to change things. The Bible tells us, he who winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. You start being a soul winner. Just sharing. What soul winning? Just sharing thoughts of Scripture. We had a visitor last night, came to our house. And we listened to some of his story. We didn't get a lot of time to share with him. But guess what? I gave him God's word. I said, oh, I said, think this might, you might like reading this. Word for today, yeah. And I gave him a word for today. Oh, thank you very much. Oh, I'll read that tonight when I go and have my evening meal. What do you do? You seed planting. So sparingly. You only sow just a few carrot seeds. You only get a couple of carrots, I know that. An abundance.
The fat one that I gave, you know, I gave him, you know, the purpose driven life, the little, not the ball,
no, the
little thing that they gave, why am I here? Something like that, I gave the book. And I gave him the Bible, I gave him some bits and bobs to read, and a personal one that I said, John, I've been reading my Bible. But it wasn't the Bible he'd been reading, it was the purpose doing that. But it just shows, but it's all Scripture, isn't it?
Yeah, the Word of God brings life, you see. Don't matter which, well, you know, the Word of God, you're the Bible today. You are part of the written Word of God. You see, your story will be entered into the books. Your life story is being logged. You know, people say, oh, you can't add to this. No, that's not what it says. It says you can't add to Revelation, the book of Revelation. The rest of the book, each and every one of us, is part of the book. The Bible is still being written today. Glory to God. Signs, wonders and miracles. It says that, you know, all the things that Jesus did cannot be contained in one book. Who's doing the miracles today? Jesus. Through us. We don't do them. We're just channels. So all that Jesus is doing and going to do cannot be held in the volume of one book. And so what Jesus does today, he's been written down, and he does it through you. He does it through me. And it said we do greater things. So I don't know why churches and people get so uptight about these things. Jesus said it. Known and read of all men. Yeah, we're epistles. We're an open book. People look at you and they read you.
Yeah,
you've heard that. You've heard that saying, you know. You know, I know what grace is going to do. And you think, oh no. Wait for it. Boom. Yeah, on holiday, weren't it? Oh, I said, watch this. Just watch what's going to happen. She did exactly what I expected of her. Oh, I weren't disappointed. I knew what she was going to do. I said, leave her to it. Let her get on with it, didn't I? Glory. Lord, give me patience. Aye. Hebrews 1 and verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sakes of those who will inherit salvation? You know, there are angels going out there. They're ministering spirits sent to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. Who's inheriting salvation? Right? And so angels are sent to minister to you and to me. They're sent out to be of service to you. What do you need? You've got an angel stood by you saying, what do you want? What shall I do? What do you want? What do you want me to do? Where shall I go? What shall I fetch? Who shall I get? What do you need? You can't see him. But the Word of God says there's a ministering spirit stood outside of you, waiting to minister to you. He's your servant. I'm not going to use the word it. They're not its. And when I say he, it's not a male-female thing. There's no male and female in the kingdom of God. But And same with the Holy Spirit. He's not a it. That's the trouble these days. People, you know, they're praying to the it, the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He has feelings. He's sensitive. He knows whether you really want him or not. Whether you've got a deep desire for him to be present in your life. And the problem today of many youth is that in churches they haven't got a deep desire of the Holy Spirit, but it's not all their fault. A lot of it is their forefathers before them had already started to lose it. They decided to become respectable. Look stupid, don't I? Just gabbling on in tongues. What will people think of me? I ought to look respectable, didn't I? Yeah, you can look a respectable person and lose your anointing and lose the presence and the power of God in your life and give up somebody else's destiny and let somebody else's life go to the pits just because you want to be respectable. I don't care. It's not about being respectful, it's being offering yourself for service. What will you do for the kingdom of God? What will you do for God? What will you do? What will you do for God? What will you do for Jesus? He who wins souls is wise. D, pray for the nation. Pray for this nation. It needs God in their lives. Thy kingdom come. Pray that the kingdom of God will come into this nation. Pray that the will of God shall be done in our cities. In the countrysides around us, the counties, the nation. Pray for the Prime Minister and the Cabinet. Boy, they need it. You know, you see, we are so interconnected around this world today that what somebody does in a day or two's time affects us. We are so connected. Didn't matter years ago, it didn't matter. It didn't roll around for a long, long time. But now, what somebody does in a few hours' time can affect this nation in a few hours. So we need to pray for godly wisdom. We need to pray that for godly leaders. We need to pray for our local authority. The mayor. Is he a mayor? Is he a... The mayor. We need to pray for the councillors there. That there will come some honesty and some godliness and some fear of God. Yeah? Yeah. Bind that spirit of corruption there and greed and malice and jealousy. Pray for wisdom and integrity in our leaders. Pray for our spiritual leaders. Church of England, they're in a mess. Pray for the leaders. Something good has got to come out of it somehow, somewhere along the way. Pray for leaders locally, that the church leaders locally would continue to get together and that we will see a move of God. We will see a revival. I thank God for the opportunity that they gave us to share about Teen Challenge. We've already had 3 cheques come in. Yeah, £200 already. Praise the Lord. And a letter saying, you know, they so appreciated what we were doing, they were so encouraged by what we said, and the testimonies that were given. That's right, fantastic. You see, when the Spirit strikes, people will give because they're wanting to continue to see the move of God. Just remember, your prayer is conversation with God, and if you're passionate about it, you will talk to God. I mean, Jonathan, don't talk to Claire, does he? Does he? Does he now get you low? I'll not ask the next question. Yeah, we know you, Nagbank. You're a lady, aren't you? So it's expected. So, but why do you nag at him? Nothing changes. No, yes. No. There's always been a bit of an issue with that one. We're still working on it, still praying for him, aren't we? It has worked. It has worked. You nag at him really because you think a lot about him, don't you? See, he can't. They don't appreciate that at times. Woman, will you give up nagging? I'm only doing it because I think a lot about you, you know. So it goes on. So praise God. So I think that's sort of finished that session. There are some questions that you can go through and answer on page 11. Give you some thinking to do. And I hope you've been blessed and encouraged a little. I don't know whether they've given you any revelations tonight.
Challenges, really.